here that
Kevin, Sandra, Sharon, and Brad, all of that's online. So if you're able to go on there, I enjoyed it. It was a good time in the Lord. I really appreciate hearing things that the Lord's done in your heart and in your life. Let me just give a quick little before I go into this exhortation of something. And something that happens often, and I'm guilty of it myself a lot. One thing, my wife's not up here, and I'm going to say it, give honor to her. One thing she's able to do in worship a lot of times, let me just say it this way. When I was in Bible school, we had tons of chapels. It was all the time. It was like a training area multiple times a week. And one thing, the lady, she was in charge, and she was a very prophetic lady. She was really good. And she would always encourage, she said, when you come to a meeting, you come prayed up. And sometimes even, you know, worship, I just want to encourage you, before you come in and step into an atmosphere of worship, sometimes things can flow a little better up front if we're ready to enter in initially. Does that make sense? Yeah. And I'm speaking to myself, and Pete, you feel it too, and I'm the same way. Sometimes it's easy, you know, to come into a meeting of any time. We've got things weighing on us, and it takes a while, but it's awesome if we can come in, and I've already been prayed up, I've already been worshiping. I'm not saying you have to spend hours and hours and hours before, but just come in with a heart and atmosphere of worship and praise. And a lot of times that will make it so it's not so much of a push through. Amen. That makes sense to everybody. I just want to encourage you, as I feel to do that as the pastor. And that's not a, it's not like, it's just an exhortation. It's not a correction or anything. It's just an exhortation, and I should do it myself. Amen. So, real quick, last week, and I shared last week, was really good. I enjoyed everything everyone said. You know, I'm going to be wrapping up. One more announcement, because that's a train of thought. Sunday school class still 9:45. If you're able to come to that, it's been very good. 9:45 Sunday mornings before service down in the classroom area. Kevin's been doing an awesome job, so come out to that and be fed. I've been in Ephesians for quite a while, and I'm sensing the Lord. I still have there's a lot more we could do, but I'm sensing the Lord moving me on. And I want to start in a few weeks sharing on, and I don't know, I mean, you've heard on the tabernacle of Moses. There's so much truth in that, and just feel it from the Lord. It's something where if you've been walking with the Lord for years, you can glean. If you don't really know much of anything at all, you can still glean from it. And I'm going to be doing that, but I still have a few things in Ephesians that I want to share with you. And as we've already said initially, in our walk with God, we sit, right? Sit, walk, and stand is basically the pattern in Ephesians. And so I come in and I sit and I receive. But I'm not, again, meant to just carry a bunch of seeds and just sit down. I'm meant to walk, right? And disperse. And everything I have, it's a walk in our life. And we spoke some about the fivefold ministry last time I spoke. And the purpose of that is, and again, and just to clarify, there's a lot of gifts in the body. Fivefold ministry are offices, and it's different from a gift. Okay, so just because you move in an area doesn't necessarily put you in an office. It's a gifting that you have. But the purpose of the fivefold ministry is for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. It's for the maturity of the body of Christ, and that speaks to our walk. I want to share a few things this morning, and some of it, it's going to be, go ahead and turn with me actually to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to look at verse 17 through 29, Ephesians 4, and I'm going to kind of be all over. At the very end, I want to give you something that I think you can take home with you that's practical, and it's something the Lord's been speaking to me a lot about. And that's one of those things, God speaks to me, and you open up the Bible and you keep seeing it over and over. It's like, oh gosh, there it is, you know, all along. And so I want to share that at the very end, but I want to speak some about, and I'm not going to go into it as much as I could, but putting off and put, remember Sandra last week, she shared about putting off and putting on, and the analogy she gave, I appreciate, was you're never going to leave your house without your clothes on, right? And so we always go, it's about putting on, and we put on Christ. We have put on Christ, but we're putting on Christ. And I said, you know, a great principle to have and carry with you through your life is you meet with God before you meet with man. And I do that, and I have to get up early in the morning, we'll set your clock back a little further. It's just a principle I carry with me, and I always have. before I meet with man, I meet with the Lord. And that's just something that will carry you through. But I'm going to read this passage, Ephesians 4, 17 through 29. And it says, "This I say, therefore, in testifying the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ." That's a good verse. "If indeed you have heard of him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." Let me stop real quick. This is not my message, but I just thought this is something I've heard before and it's true. Unless the Spirit of God teaches you, you haven't really been taught. I can pull and glean from the best ministers in the world and everything, but the Holy Spirit's the one who's our teacher, right? And he makes stuff real in us. "So that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man." Your old man is former. "Which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that you may have something good to give to him who is in need." Last verse, and should do this later, says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouths, but what is good and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace unto its hearers." So, I kind of want to go somewhere with something. I think I'm already going to skip over something. In the scriptures, let me say this. It says to put off your old man and put on the new man. But, actually, if you go to Colossians chapter 3, and I'm actually going to turn there. Paul, and I was talking to Bob about this morning, reading through Paul's stuff. You don't have to turn there, but in Colossians chapter 3, he says, "Put to death your members which are on the earth," and he goes through those. And then he said, "In whom you once also walked, and do not lie to another," but he says, "since you have put off your old man with its deeds." So he's telling us to put off, and then he says, "You have put off." And then he says, and "you have put on the new man who's renewed according to knowledge." And then he says down further, he says that you put on the new man. Sometimes there's paradoxes in Scripture, seeming contradictions, where God tells us, put off the old man, put on the new man, and then he tells us, "You have put off the old man, you have put on the new man," right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes there's just a simple principle. I could give it more. I'm not going to. I want to go into something else. But what's true of us, and we had that, you know, the prayer we've already went through in the Kingdom of God series we went through, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So something can be true. My old man's put off. Read Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 6, verse 6. My old man, what I used to be before I came to Christ, is what that basically is. We go into that more. It's who I used to be before I met Jesus. That has been put off. And if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, right? Mm-hmm. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There's two men. You're either in Adam or in Christ. As in Adam, all die. In Christ, all shall be made alive. So I'm working according to the flesh, or I'm working according to the Spirit. Okay? I'm one or the other. So I put off my old man. My old man's been put off, but I'm still commanded to put him off, right? I put on my new, or the Lord has put on our new man at salvation, but we're still commanded to put him on, correct? Amen? And so there's something that's practical. So it's worked out in the heavens, but then we have the walk, and I'm meant to walk out what's true of me, right? That's why sometimes it's important to know who we are, so I can walk out what's real and what's true in my heart, what's true, what's going on inside of me. What I'm going to do is this real quick, because there's a beautiful scripture in the Old Testament. I want to kind of give you a story of it, because it entails putting off and putting on. It's in Zechariah chapter 3. And I would actually like for you to turn there, Zechariah 3. And we're going to speak something. I want to talk about what the Lord has done in our salvation. Philippians, and while you turn there, I'm going to read Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 13, and we all know this passage too. It says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have also obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works within you both to will and to do His good pleasure. Before we talk about Zechariah, that passage in Philippians, work out your own salvation, that implies a response on our part, right? The word there, Bob, if you have your sword, I don't know, I can't remember the name of it, but it means when you work out, it means that you attain to the whole and the fullness. I want that all the Lord did for me, right? And so our journey through life, we're set from faith to faith, glory to glory, strength to strength. And so there's a constant growth that we have in our life. But then it says, but it is God who works within you. So I work out my own salvation, but it's the Lord who does a work within me, right? And He works within me to will and to do His good pleasure, right? So the Lord's done something in me, but I have responsibility in the kingdom of God as well, right? God does something in me, He transforms me, He changes me, but there's also a walk that I have. Energeto, we work within you, an active energy that's going inside us, propelling you and pushing you forward in the things of God. But in Zechariah chapter 3, it's a beautiful, beautiful picture of what the Lord did for us at salvation. And in that, I'm just going to read verse 3 through 4 real quick, and then I'm going to explain. It says, "Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, 'Take away the filthy garments from him.' And to him he said, 'See, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes.'" We've spoken some about this before, and I actually mentioned this passage a couple of years ago. Stay with me for a minute. In those times, when we've spoken about the Feast Day of Atonement that the Jews would have, it was a day of fasting, and it was a day when the high priest would go in once a year to make atonement for his sins, for the sins of the priest, and for the sins of the people, right? And I'm grateful we don't have that anymore. Jesus' sacrifice, Hebrews says, is once and for all. Okay, so we had that situation. What the high priest would do, and this is a beautiful picture. God speaks to us in pictures. It's a beautiful picture. The high priest would go a week in advance. So he's the man with all the responsibility. And he would go in 1 week before, and he would spend all of his time reading the Torah, not touching anything unclean, not eating anything unclean, staying away from everybody so nothing unclean comes upon him. The day before, he would be up all night, reading the Torah, praying, making sure everything's right, and then he would go in. And what would happen is he would go in first and make a sacrifice. He would be fully clothed in his white garments. He would go in and make the sacrifice, first for himself, and then he would come out. And there's something where the veil, but the people could still see what was going on, and he would actually shower in between each sacrifice. And you can probably imagine why. Okay? So he would go shower on the robe, and the people would watch it. And then he would go back in, and he would make atonement, not just for himself, but then for all the priests. Come back out and do it again, and people are watching, right? So if Kevin's going in as my representative before God, I'm going to make sure you go in and you're clean, or I'm in trouble. So people are making sure he's clean. And he goes back in and cleans himself, washes himself as pure as he can be. And he goes back in again for all the people. And in Zechariah, the Lord shows him a vision. And he sees the priest, Joshua. He said, "He's filthy." In God's eyes, I can do everything in the world. And he shows Zechariah and says, "He's filthy." And then he goes back in and he starts, and later in the chapter, he starts talking about where the Lord comes from, "My servant, the branch that he will send." And he says, "And I will remove the iniquity from the land in that one day." Who did that? Jesus. Sometimes you read the Old Testament, it's a picture of Jesus. And sometimes we're so focused on what God's going to do instead of acting on what He's already done. He's made atonement for me, and He's put on. When I think of that, there's a passage in Isaiah 61:10 that we all know. And I wrote it down. It says, "I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness." Who does that? What a beautiful picture. You look, whenever Jesus came along, Jesus, another Joshua, it's Joshua in the Aramaic. He also came and had the week before, right? Except he wasn't celebrated, he was scorned. And they ridiculed him. And he says, he who made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. How do we have our righteousness? From what he did. He is clothed us, has he not? Isaiah also says, I think it's Isaiah 64, our righteousness are as filthy rags. But he comes along and he clothes us with righteousness, right? Amen. The whole essence of the gospel, this is simple. I think it would do well for believers to hear this again. The whole essence of the gospel is that Jesus did for me what I could never do for myself. That's a simple thing, but we often forget it. And as believers, we hear it, and then we come into a foundation where it becomes performance-based. I was telling someone else, I think it might have been you, Bob. I found we're cleaning out because we have to move, and we have our tapes. Remember the cassette tapes back in the day? We still have a bunch. Like, oh, we found all these cassette tapes, I remember. And we actually have something we can still play cassette tapes, believe it or not. And I found you do. And there's some good old tapes. And I actually found this week, it brought tears to my eyes. The date of it was 12/1/93. And it was the day I gave my heart to Jesus. And I listened to that again. And it moved me. And so I'm almost 24 years old in the Spirit, coming up pretty soon, right? December the 1st. But I listened to that, and there's something, you know, I have grown physically since then. I've grown mentally, spiritually, emotionally. I've grown all different ways, but I've not added one iota to my righteousness. You know, I can't add to my righteousness.
Amen.
I was just as righteous on 12/1/93 that I am, whatever today's date is.
Amen.
I cannot add to that. Again, now I grow spiritually. I've talked about that. But right now I'm talking about what he's given us. We've put off, he washed away my filthy garments. He's put off my old man. And then he puts on my new man, 12/1/93, and he did for me what I could never do for myself. And so I'm no more righteous today than I was 24 years ago. I can't add to my righteousness. That sounds simple, but how often do we do things for God to add to our righteousness subconsciously? Do this because I can do this. I can do this. God propels me and he moves me forward and I should be growing. But I can't add to what Jesus did for me. And that's an important distinction to make. That's basic, simple gospel, but so many believers don't think they know it. Or we don't think about it enough. Amen. This is what he's done for me. He's already put off my old man and he's already clothed me with his righteousness. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, because I couldn't do it myself. Otherwise, I would be cleaning and washing myself, have the whitest robes, and in the Spirit I stick out like a sore thumb in the heavens because I'm filthy. Why? Because I don't have, there's one mediator between God and man Christ Jesus. I don't have Jesus Christ as my intercessor. I don't have his blood covering me. Amen?
Amen.
So it's important. But there's also an element of putting off and putting on as well that we're also commanded to do. One of the passages I love in here, and I'm going to reiterate, sometimes when you do series of stuff, and anyone who's ever spoken in a series of any capacity, it bears repeating things, because things come back up. A lot of time, emphasis in a book, it comes back up. And I'm going to do some of that here. There's a passage, and it says, and I love it, it says, but you have not so learned Christ. Not just about him, but you have not so learned him. I was reading this week, and I think it's Spurgeon. If I find a Spurgeon quote, I think it's good, right? So it says, so if you want to know the Lord Jesus, you must live with him. First he must himself speak to you, and afterwards you must abide in him. He must be your choice companion, I love that, of your morning hours. He must be with you throughout the day, and with him you must also close the night. And as often as you may wake during the night, you must say, when I am awake, I'm still with you. There's an operation in our life, and I'm going to give you something practical here in a minute, so just hang with me. As I grow in God, as I put him on, I'm going to give you a way to do that in a minute, and as I put off, one of the hardest things in the world to do, one of the most frustrating things to do is to try to be a Christian. Right? When I went through the Sermon on the Mount, it's the impossible lifestyle. Right? It's hard. Because we're not supposed to. You said the verse this morning, no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me.
Amen.
Our life should be a spontaneous flow as he continues to being led by the Spirit. And as He takes preeminence in our life and we walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh, things in life become, it becomes a natural. What I'll say this, the way you act when you're not even thinking shows what the Lord's doing and working within your heart and within your life. Watchman Nee had a quote that I love. He says, "Nothing is so blessed as when our outward efforts cease and our life and attitudes become natural. When our prayers and our words are unforeseen expressions of that which is within." There's something as we grow in God. Remember I spoke a few weeks ago and went to Romans chapter 12 and we talked about metamorphosis. And it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And it speaks of the first part, and I can't remember the word, but being conformed is the same as like it, as when you grow. So if I grow, and let's say I'm back in 1993, you know, I look different today than I did then because in the process of time I've grown. But there's a growth that takes on inside within us, and it's a metamorphosis. When the Lord comes in and we find that place in 2 Corinthians 3:18, says that we look to the Lord, we're transformed from glory to glory. That's the word metamorphosis. We worship God, as we look to God, we cast our affections on God, change happens within us. The Spirit takes precedent within us. And we begin to operate and move out of the flow of the Spirit rather than trying really hard to be a good Christian, right? That's why I value worship the way. Why do you do that? Because in worship and in prayer and waiting on the Lord, and you know, do you know worship is also Bible study? When Mary, remember Mary of Bethany? She said it said she was worshipped him because she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. We often don't think of this as worship. Worship is just this. This is also worship. And as we look to him and as we glean, as we spend time with him, the more we spend time with him, the more our inward desires change and we begin to grow and mature, right? So what comes out naturally within us? And I was thinking this week, some areas of growth in my life and some areas of not so growth in my life. And I shared with you a few weeks back about my job situation. And the contract I was working on, we lost it. And I had been talking to my wife, and kind of goes like what you're saying in your class, Kevin. I'm like, gosh, what happened? I said, I immediately go to the worst place. I'm going to talk about this in a minute. In my mind of what's going to happen. Well, I kept my job. Blessed God, peace. They put me on a new contract. But sometimes in areas of our life where something happens and our immediate reaction is counterclockwise from what the Scriptures say, what the Lord does. Lord, that's an area where I need you to work in my life, so my natural response is not, oh, no, the worst is coming. My natural response is God works all things together for the good of those who love God, call according to His purpose. That's a life. That's a walk, right? So that's something all Jesus did and all He gave me at salvation. I put on my righteousness. I can't add to it. But as I walk with Him, I begin to grow and my appetites change. My attitudes change. The drive of my heart changes. There's another area, an area of patience. People that I've grown immensely. I have. Why? Because I'm allowing the Lord to change my natural inclinations towards things and everything that's what happens. So I'm growing. We have areas where we're growing and we're strong, areas where we need the Lord to intervene. So I want to end with something, and I'm not going to be much longer, but it's something that the Lord put on my heart really a couple weeks ago, and I kept seeing it in the Scriptures, and I kind of feel like I should add it to this. A tool for growing in the Lord, and I honor the Word of God. Let me share a story with you real quick. It was a guy named Malcolm Smith. He's a pastor. I believe he's still with us. I think he is. But he went to Bible school. He's an Englishman. He went to Bible school. And I think he actually memorized the whole Bible. But there's no power. There's nothing working in his life. It was just dry. But he memorized the Word of God. He memorized the Bible. And he said, an old man came up to him and said, Malcolm, son, what you need is not, you know, he said, you know the letter right now, but you need to know the Word. And I may have phrased it differently, but basically, you can quote this, but it has nothing in your life. It means nothing to you. It's just dry letter. And he said, well, what do I do about that? And he gave him something. He says, what I want you to do is meditate on the Word of God. Meditate on it. And he said, okay, what'd he do? He went out and he went into town. He couldn't find any books in the Christian bookstore about that. So So he asked, and he found this guy who was this, you know, Eastern guru with bugs in his beard. I will teach you meditation. And he said, I don't want anything to do with this. And about a week had passed, and he was out in a field in a farm, and the Lord stopped him. There was a cow, and the Lord said, watch the cow. Okay, watch the cow. The cow started eating grass. And he was chewing the grass. Have you ever seen someone, my grandfather, he was my buddy, and I would go over and until he passed away, I'd always go and we'd eat together, and he lost all his teeth, and he had his fake ones, and he always told me, boy, you need to use a toothpick. But I used floss. But he'd always tell me that. But I would go over, and he would just chew the same thing. And they said the cow was just chewing and chewing and chewing, and in about 10 minutes, swallowed it. And the Lord said, that's meditation. And then we start to look at the Word, at the Scriptures. Let me just read a few to you. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. What does he have to do? Meditate on the Word of God. A lot of times we use this book for spiritual warfare. You know, spiritual warfare is not just Saul, just hobbledygook. You have to have your sword, right? If I'm going into battle, I need to give the Lord something to work with.
Amen.
Meditate in the Word of God. See, I'm convinced a lot of things the Lord's given us, we've passed off and we've allowed other people to take it. So I've allowed the Middle Eastern guru or the Far East guru with the bugs in his beard to tell me what meditation is, when God has given that to us, not to empty ourselves, but to meditate and fill ourselves with the Word of God, right?
And
what He has done. And we've passed it off on others, and it's something that the Lord's given us. In Psalms 1:1-3, I'm just giving you a few verses. It said, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he does what? Meditates day and night. The cow, eat, chew it. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. Its leaves do not wither, and whatever it does shall prosper. You want to prosper. There's two things. Prospering. Meditating. You see those two verses of Scripture? Compare Scripture with Scripture. You want to prosper? Meditate on the Word of God. Psalms 19. I'm going to go back to that one. Psalms 104:34 says, let my meditation be pleasing to Him. As for me, I shall be glad in the Lord. Let my meditation be pleasing to Him. And I'm going to, there's plenty more. Philippians 4:8. Let me just say this one. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, anything worthy, meditate on these things. Right?
Amen.
Meditate. I was actually saw a quote by Rick Warren, and he was talking about this, and he said, if you know how to worry, you already know how to meditate. How many of us do that? Like I said, I'll pick on myself. So, oh, you lost the contract at your job. And then immediately I start rehearsing a movie in my mind and I meditate on it. Oh, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. I go down this road. That's going to happen. I have to go here. I have to go there. What am I doing? I'm meditating on something that's contrary to what the Word of God is and what the heart of God is for my life, right?
Amen.
God's my provision. He's provided for us ever since I moved up here. And so we tend to do that. How many of us do that? We meditate on trash and we meditate on junk. What would happen if we meditate on the Scriptures? There's a passage, and let me say this too. Let me just, bear with me. I'm going to give you some Scriptures. If you want them when I'm done, I will give them to you. If you go to a good Strong's Concordance, you can find a lot of these verses. But I want to read something. Says Ken, and this is Psalms 119, verse 13. Excuse me, not Psalms 119, Psalms 19, verse 13 through 14. It says, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then thou shalt be blameless, and thou shalt be innocent of great transgression. So right here, he's already talking about not having the old to have dominion over him. And then the next verse, it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. not just the words of my mouth, but the meditation of my heart. So the meditation of my heart. God hears me when I meditate in my heart. I think on Him. And Kevin, I'll pick on you again. We gave an example a few weeks ago, and I figured 18 inches, but from your head to your heart. What is this saying? It's not just to say, okay, this. Sometimes you speak until it becomes a part of you. God wants things, as Kevin was sharing, to go from your head to your heart. And so it's not something I'm trying to do, but it becomes a natural flow of my life. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. What are we thinking of? As a man, what's the passage? I think it's, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. God gives a lot of attention. Where are we going at in our minds, in our meditations, in our thoughts during the day? Are we filling it with the Lord, with good, with His Word? So one thing I like about this too, he's talking about to keep your servant from presumptuous sins. I'm going to try really hard today. Well, you're probably not going to do that well and just going to get really frustrated. But if I say, okay, I meditate on the Lord and on His goodness, I've got some more stuff in a minute. What happens over time, you're like that cow and you're chewing and you're chewing and you're chewing. And eventually it gets from here down into the belly. It begins to operate and begins your source of energy and your flow of life, right? God can speak to us through a cow eating grass. And we chew and we chew and we chew, and eventually it becomes a natural part of our life, right?
Amen.
I want to be kept from sins. Like I said previously, the hardest thing in the world is to try to be a Christian, to try to be a good person. It's really hard, and it breeds frustration, and it's not what the Lord designed for us. He gave His Spirit within us to live and be dominant within our hearts and our lives. So I live and I move. The more I walk with God, the more anyone walks with God, the more like Him I should be becoming. So I say, like, metamorphosis is different. You can take someone who's been saved for 2 years and is 20 years old, and they can be more spiritually mature than someone who's been in church their whole life and they're 70. Why is that? Because something transforms. Does God have this seat? Is He King of my heart? And He will lead you and guide you and direct you. I remember there's a John Jimenez, pastor of Rock Church in Virginia Beach. And Andrew and I know someone who was discipled and raised and grown up in that church and in the Jesus movement and all that good stuff. And he said he came in there as a mess. He'd given his heart to Jesus. And, John never tried to clean him up. And as he continued to grow and mature in the Lord, he came back and asked me, he said, you know, why didn't you tell me all this stuff to stop doing all these things? And his response was that as you continue to pursue God and grow, those desires and appetites are going to change, and I knew you were going to continue to press in, right? And sometimes it's not just say, okay, you know, stay away from bad and do the good, and that's good and well, and there is an element of willpower. But the Lord should be dominant in my life as I pursue Him, as I grow in Him, the metamorphosis, the change, as I meditate on His Word, on His acts, on what He does. My appetites change, right? Amen. And I begin to do stuff naturally. Okay? My responses to God, my prayer life, my worship, everything, it just becomes a natural thing because He's dominant within me. Let me give you a few more passages. Psalms 63:6. It says, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Psalms 4:4. You don't have to turn there. I can give you these after service if you want. It says, be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Everyone in here meditates before you go to bed. I have a sister. She lays down. As soon as she hits the bed, she goes to sleep. And I wish I had that skill and that gift, because it takes me a while. But what do we do? And sometimes, you know, there's a, I heard another story about a guy who's an Australian man, and he studied and meditated on Winston Churchill. And he got all of his biographies. He devoured it. Actually, when Churchill died, his wife gave him a lot of the artifacts because he knew him so much. He played him in plays. He did all these things. He said, I meditate on the man so much that everything he did was just natural for me in the plays. I just being like him, because I knew everything there was to know about him. We do that. Look at when, if you watch a movie or a sports event, you know, we're going to bed thinking I'm hitting the Grand Slam in the World Series, or I'm doing this or I'm doing that, because God meditating on before we go to bed. I think there's a lot of biographies in this Word to meditate on as well, right?
Amen.
I love Joseph. I love that story. I do. I got worried about that when I was young. I love Joseph. David, you know, you have Jesus. What if we meditate before we went to bed at night? They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
Okay. Amen.
Going to bed at night. Meditate on the Word. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And I bite the cow and I chew it. And I chew it. Or I'm going to bed at night and I'm worried about losing my job. God works all things together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in each step that He takes. I love that. If you're in a place where, hey, I don't know where to go, what to do, how's it going? The steps of a good man. Are you a good man? Yes. Because of Jesus, He delights in each step I take. He leads me and He guides me. Amen? And I meditate on these things. And it doesn't become something I have to work up. Anytime I'm working something up, it should be a natural flow of our life because I've thought. And then all of a sudden I heard another minister and he was sharing and he said that he would actually do this before he would minister. He'd start meditating on the Word of God. He would meditate and the Lord would start speaking to him and he'd go into meetings and the Lord would show him, you know, people who were going to be there for certain situations, what they're wearing and everything. And he would go and they'd be there, lo and behold. He said that's a principle and a practice of meditating on the Lord, on His good works. There's other scriptures as well. Psalm 119, 15. It says, I will meditate on your precepts and I will contemplate your ways. Psalm 119, 48. Says, there's so much in here. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love. I will meditate on your statutes. There's another passage somewhere. Bear with me one more. Psalms 143, 5 through 6. It says, this is what I want. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the works of your hands. I spread my hands out to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. What was he doing? I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. Everyone in here, the simple fact that you're in here means God has something, His hands on your life, and we can meditate. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the works of your hands. I spread out my hands to you. I meditate on all your works. If you're in a rough patch, a rough season, before you go to bed at night, I meditate, I chew. I meditate on the Word, but I also meditate on the good things God's done in my life, right?
Amen.
And I was, you know, Andrew and I have, you know, we're just, so let me say this. If God's carrying you through something, it's a good thing. Because you get to the other side and you have a testimony and you have something of the faithfulness of God. So God has carried me and, for example, me and my wife through things that we've gone through together. What that does is it instills confidence in God. Because I've seen Him work. He's done it once before. He will do it again.
Amen.
Instead of fretting and worrying, like Rick Warren said, if you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. And I meditate. Oh, I remember when God did this for me 14 years ago. Oh, I remember when God did this 3 years ago. I remember that. God's no respecter of persons. You know, you can also study biographies of other Christian people. Oh, God did that for them. Why are they different from me? God did it for them. God's no respecter of persons. He can do it in my life too, right? What am I doing? I'm meditating on His Word. I'm meditating on His goodness. I'm meditating on what He's done in the past, right? How He carries you. Every person in here has a story. And so what often happens is God's speaking to me about this, so I'm speaking to you as God's dealing with me and I'm working through it as well. It's easy to go through life and we play a movie in our mind, you know. Oh, my son's out on the road, you know. Oh, I haven't heard from him in 20 minutes. Something happened. And we get panicky. And then we create a movie, and we're the main part of everything that happens, and we can watch it unfold, and it's everything that's a negative Nancy going on, right? Instead of in moments, quiet my soul, I meditate on the work of God. I meditate on His goodness. What are you meditating on? I want to put on Christ, right? I put off the old man. I want to put on Christ.
Amen.
He's already done it for me, but there's some growth that I have to do as well. What's the way to put him on? I meditate on him. I want to challenge you too. And some of you know this word like the back of your hand. Some of you maybe have tried to read the Bible and you stop once you get to Leviticus. Read the Word of God. Like I said, spiritual warfare is not just helter-skelter. I have a sword. My son, I'm going to brag on him. He's downstairs. He's memorized 10 verses so far. And I was a proud papa last night. I went up to his room, and he has a children's Bible, and he's learned to read, and he was up there reading his Bible. And he's got a place in his a marker in his Bible, and he's going to read it, and he brought it to church with him. And I said, yes. Give the Lord something to work with. Meditate on His Word. Meditate on His goodness. When you go to bed at night, don't meditate on all the nasties. We often make small things huge things through our meditations and our imaginations, right? I've learned that. Don't overreact, because it's probably not nearly as bad as what you've been talking in your mind. Meditate on His goodness. Meditate on what He says. And honor the Word. Meditate on the Word of God, right? Meditate on His goodness. Put Him on. Metamorphosis. I grow and I change. It's a natural thing because I'm constantly filling myself with the Word of God. Far East says you empty yourself and you're filled up. Scriptures, Word of God. God's given us meditation. So we fill ourselves with His Word. We fill ourselves with Him. Amen.
Amen.
And our appetites change and we grow and we develop. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word that speaks to us, God. Lord, teach us principles, Lord, to put You on, Father, to meditate on Your Word, God. I ask that You stir a hunger in our hearts, Lord, for Your Word. Lord, I ask, too, that just in this house, Lord, if anyone is wrestling with doubts and with faults and with whatever's going on, Father, Lord, that You remind them of Your goodness. You remind them of Your faithfulness in years past. And that, Lord, You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You change not. And we thank You for that. We honor You, and we love You, and we bless You. In Your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Guys, be blessed, and come to snacks downstairs. Amen.